Good morning, church family. I'm going to ask Rusty, if you would, to come up. We're going to go ahead and just open up our time with a prayer to remind us about the opportunity that we do have to reflect on the sacrifice that's been made by so many for us. Rusty.
Memorial Day weekend is a time of remembrance for some that gave all that gave all. If you served in the military, would you stand for just a minute? If you've served in the military, if you would stand. All right, thank you. Take your seats. This is the weekend to memorialize those that have went on. World War I, World War II, Korean conflict, Vietnam conflict, just name them. Afghanistan, just name them. And there's been people that's given of their self and gave the ultimate sacrifice. And because of the freedom we enjoy, it's because of those sacrifices. And we need to be mindful of those things, not just Memorial Day weekend. We need to be mindful of them at all times. People, we live in the greatest nation ever, the greatest nation ever, because of people that have given the supreme sacrifice for our freedom. Let's remember that. Let's go to our Heavenly Father in prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for the blessings of today. Father, just the blessings that you bestowed upon us the last week or two in the form of rain, Father, we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for this church family. We thank you for the Graham Street Church of Christ. And Father, our prayer is, as leaders and as men and women of this congregation, we seek you in all that we do. Father, at this time, we're thankful and we're mindful of those that have given the supreme sacrifice and given their life to defend our freedom. Father, we pray that we would always be mindful of those things, be mindful of those people. Father, be mindful of the people that have loved ones over there serving at this time. Father, take care of their loved ones while they're away from their families. Take care of their families. And Father, as your children, help us to minister to those families. Father, thank you for the freedom we enjoy, the lack of persecution and the lack of pressure from outside sources to be able to come and to worship you on a regular basis. Father, we're mindful of that and we're thankful for that. Father, thank you for our founding fathers. Thank you for this great nation. And may we continue to live in the phrase, in God we trust. Thank you for your son and his sacrifice. Be with us this morning as we make a joyful noise unto you and we commune with you. And if God, again, Father, just thank you for our military. Thank you for the people that's defended our freedom. Help us to always be mindful of that sacrifice. Thank you for your son and his sacrifice. Thank you for him staying on that cross and being risen from the grave on the third day. Help us to be more like him. Help us to be mindful, considerate, long-suffering, patient, kind, and loving as he was, and to extend grace as he did. It's in his name that we pray. Amen.
All right, well, good morning again. I have a few announcements I want to go over just as we get started today. One, as always, hopefully you grabbed a bulletin on your way in. Inside your bulletin, there are those QR codes that will link you to our church website so that you can see even more information than just what we're able to get into the printed version here of our bulletin. Lots of things going on as we are getting into summertime now, so please make sure you stay up to date on as many of these things as you can so you can know where we'll be and what we'll be doing for different things. This goes along with our youth. This is an especially busy time of the year for us and the things that we get to do with the youth group. I encourage parents, teens, whoever it may be, on your way out this morning, on the Welcome Center desk that's back there, there are several different applications, some for camp, some for service trip. There's also some of these yellow pages that have a lot of the events that are going on this summer so that you can have something physically in your hands to see as well. You can see in the bulletin, we've got lots of stuff that's going on even just this week. We're going to start our Tuesday night devos this Tuesday. Living Faith will officially kick off this Wednesday night out at Foster Home. Let me say something about that. If you were there on Wednesday night, thank you. It was a great start that we have, but guess what? We can do better. I know that we can get our church, our family, Graham Street, involved in what we're trying to do this summer, and that's to make it all of us together, not just one group or another. So please do not let it deter you that you hear that this next Wednesday night is the youth-focused Wednesday night. What we're talking about is young at heart, so everybody can fall into that. We would love for you to be out there at 6 p.m. on Wednesday at Foster Home as we get to start our Living Faith series. Next Sunday, we will have a Graham Street Youth Group lunch in the park. We'll have more information with those things coming out. One other thing I do want to share, because this is the youth group inviting everybody to be a part of this, and this will be the one time, I won't hold it against you, if you want to get your phone out right now, and you can even scan that QR code from where you're at up on the screen. This is so that you can get a ticket for the Texas Rangers baseball game that we're going to on Monday, July 5th. We'd love for anybody that wants to be a part of that. You've got about a week left to register for that. Please don't get me in any pictures that you're taking. It'll just ruin everything. So great chance we have to go out and just hang out together as a family at the ballpark on July 5th. A couple other things that I would not be proud of myself if I missed. We had some dancers the last couple of days that literally danced in the heat that was well beyond anything that was deserved. Catherine Collier, Kyler Harcourt, and Bria Wilson did great in their performances. So if you get to see them this morning, tell them that they did wonderful over the last 2 days. And if you see Reese Elston and Corbin Poston, make sure you tell them, as well as any of the Yellow Jackets baseball team, congratulations on being, let me see if I can get this right, regional semifinal champions. So they're now regional finalists. Let's definitely give everybody a big round of applause on that. And in case that means nothing to you like it does to me, because I'm thinking, well, what does that mean? How far have they gotten? They're in the Elite Eight. There's only eight teams left in 4A right now. So they have an awesome opportunity ahead of them, so we want to be praying for them as they can continue on in that journey. Today, we had that moment to think about what tomorrow is and that chance to memorialize those that have given a sacrifice. But each and every week, we get to come together to do that as well. Today, we're going to start out in Exodus chapter 12. This is a day you are to commemorate. For the generations to come, you shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord, a lasting ordinance. Obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter the land that the Lord will give you, as he promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, "What does this ceremony mean to you?" then tell them, "It is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over the houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when he struck down the Egyptians." Then the people bowed down and worshiped. And that's what we get to do now. We get to bow down and worship during this time. Let's pray together as we begin our worship. Father, thank you for bringing us here today. Father, and we thank you for the sacrifice of so many in this country that were willing to give up their lives for us. But Father, also today we are so grateful, as we are each and every day of our lives, for the sacrifice that you gave for us. Father, today, may we lift up our hearts, we lift up our mouths in praise to you, knowing that you are God. Thank you for being a God who has chosen us and a God who wants us for all eternity. It's our prayer in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Good morning, church. If we could all please stand for this song. We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne. With humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing a song of the shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into his presence. We bring an offering of song, glory and honor and dominion unto the Lamb, unto the King. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. We sing a song of the redeemed. Amen. Would you please be seated? Faithful love flowing down from the thorn-covered crown makes me whole, saves my soul, washes whiter than snow. Faithful love calms each fear, reaches down, dries each tear, holds my hand when I can't stand on my own. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Faithful love is a friend just when hope seems to end. Welcome face, sweet embrace, tender touch filled with grace. Faithful love, endless power, living flame, spirit's fire, burning bright in the night, guiding my way. Faithful love from above came to earth to show the Father's love, and I'll never be the same, for I've seen faithful love face to face, and Jesus is his name. Amen. You are my strength when I am weak. You are the treasure that I seek. You are my all in all. Seeking you as a precious jewel, Lord, to give up I'd be a fool. You are my all in all. Taking my sin, my cross, my shame, again I bless your name. You are my all in all. When I fall down, you pick me up. When I am dry, you fill my cup. You are my all in all. Jesus, Lamb of God, worthy is your name. 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 Worthy is your name. Worthy is your name. Amen.
Good morning, church. Good to see everybody this morning. If you don't know, that's George, or some say Jorge. I see it spelled both ways, so there we go. And they're new to the congregation, so glad that you're here. Glad that you're brave enough to come up here and lead singing for us this morning, okay? You did a great job. Appreciate it. Well, we've already said some things about Memorial Day, so let me just say just a few more, because I'm going to focus in on our memorial of the Lord's Supper, so it ties into what we're talking about. We've already said that this is a memorial to memorialize those who died for our country in military service. Sometimes this Memorial Day is confused with Veterans Day. Veterans Day is to honor all of our veterans living and those who have passed, those who are currently involved in service. And so that's part of it. We also have added to our list of memorials what we call Patriot Day. It's for those who died during the 9/11 destruction that happened that day, not just at the tower, but at other places as well. And so that's part of our memorial also. I want to add one more that's not official yet, but I imagine that it probably will be sometime in the future. And that is, let's remember those who served us, especially in our hospitals, serving us when we were sick. We have had 605,000 deaths in the United States due to COVID. In our world, we've had 3.5 million people die. We've had workers that were separated from their families for long periods of time trying to take care of COVID patients. And I think there probably should be a memorial in a special way for them. Not only those who died, but those who served us in a special way. So I want to pause for just a moment. I want to have a prayer and include these others as well as we pray this morning. Would you bow with me, please? God, these memorials are special. We've been commanded in the Word of God to remember those who have paid prices for us, who have given sacrifices. And we know that, of course, the ultimate sacrifice for us was done as you gave your Son and as Jesus died on the cross for our sins. But we also remember human beings who have been willing to step up and courageously fight for our freedoms, to fight for what we believe to be true and righteous. And we ask, Father, for a special day of remembrance for that, as we'll do tomorrow. But we also know that there are others who have served our country and served in this world in a courageous way as they serve those who were dealing with the challenge of this terrible disease that we've been fighting for over a year. And we know that in many places of our world, that war is still, it's still being fought in hospitals all over the world. And we ask, Father, for a blessing for those workers. We pray that you'll keep them safe. We pray that they'll be remembered by not only the families that supported their courage, but all of us as we realize that a great price was paid. Father, this morning as we turn our minds to remembering the Lord's Supper and comparing it with the Passover of the past, we ask, Father, you'll give us open hearts to realize that sometimes we not approach this the way we should. And we ask, Father, that you'll help us to do better. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you again for being here this morning. Some of what I may say this morning may, you may say, is that right? Because I think some of the things that I have to share this morning are not your typical information in dealing with the Passover and with the Lord's Supper. So bear with me as I may share some things that may make you think a little bit. I hope it makes you think a little bit and maybe helps us all think about what we're doing. Let me refer back to a passage that Wes shared with us a moment ago. Exodus chapter 12, verses 24 through 27. Talking about the Passover. It says, obey these instructions as a lasting ordinance for you and your descendants. When you enter into the land that the Lord will give you, as He promised, observe this ceremony. And when your children ask you, what does this ceremony mean to you? Then tell them it is the Passover sacrifice to the Lord, who passed over our houses of the Israelites in Egypt and spared our homes when He struck down the Egyptians. And then the people bowed down and worshiped. Just like with Memorial Day, I think sometimes we forget the meaning of what we're doing. I love the video that was shared with us earlier of the flag going up and then coming back down to half-mast. And talking about, in the script that was on the screen, about what does Memorial Day mean? And I hear often in the commercials on television that it's about sales. You know, things are on sale. You know, come out to the Memorial Day sale, the annual Memorial Day sale. For some reason, in some senses, for some people, sales are the important part of Memorial Day. Or it's the beginning of summer. That has become kind of the trademark statement that we make. Summer begins with Memorial Day. Things open up for the summer on Memorial Day. It's the day to go to the lake. It's the day to barbecue and so forth. We forget what it means. I think Passover lost its meaning. In fact, and you can research this a little bit more yourself, I'm not going to argue with you one way or the other, but I believe that the memorial of Passover was celebrated on the year anniversary of coming out of Egypt, and then it wasn't celebrated again for 40 years. Have you thought about that? I mean, I think there's the assumption that once Passover was instituted, that it was an annual thing that the Israelites did. Even while they were journeying in the wilderness, they obeyed the command. Surely, of all the commands that God gave them, they would observe Passover. But when you read in Joshua chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, of the first Passover that they celebrated when they entered into the promised land, you begin to realize that when they had traveled for over a year to get, or basically a year, when they got to the river to cross over into the promised land, and they sent the spies over into the promised land, and the 12 spies came back and they gave their report. And 10 said, it's a great place, but there's no way we can take it. They're too mighty for us. There's no way we can win in battle against them. And the people bought into this negative persuasion. And even though Joshua and Caleb, two of the spies, said, no, God is with us. God will give us victory. God has done mighty things. Remember what he did when we overcame the Egyptians and coming in out of Egypt and coming on our journey here. Remember what God did, and God will give us victory. And even with that persuasion, the people would not change their mind. And God said, because you did not believe, you will wander in the wilderness 40 years, a day for every day in which the spies went into the land. For 40 years, and this generation will die out and not enter into the promised land. And the next generation will. When you have in Numbers the beginning of Joshua being trained to be Moses' successor in leadership. In the commission of Joshua, Joshua is reminded of what he needs to do to help the people take the Passover. And then in Deuteronomy chapter 16, when Moses is getting the people ready to go into the promised land, he repeats the command about the Passover. It is my personal feeling, and you study it for yourself, but I don't think they took the Passover meal in 40 years. They had rebelled against God. They had broken the covenant with God. And God were punishing them for 40 years. And during that 40 years, they did not take this covenant meal with God. But that's not the last time that they didn't take the Passover. After they go into the promised land and Joshua starts this Passover meal as an annual observance, they do it through the years of the judges. But when they started having the kings, David and Solomon did it. But after that, there is this gap of when it was done. It says in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, when Hezekiah restored the Passover, that it had not been done like this since the days of Solomon. And then they broke away from doing it again for a period of time. And in 2 Chronicles 35, Josiah restored the observance of the Passover again. Then they become unfaithful to God again. And finally, God allows them to go into captivity, and they don't observe the Passover during the whole period of time of the captivity. And finally, in Ezra chapter 6, verse 19, they finally take Passover again after they've rebuilt the temple. So when you add it up, how many years did the Jewish people actually take the Passover? And remember, Passover was not just the one day. You have Passover, and then you begin the day following Passover that you observe the Feast of Unleavened Bread, which goes on for a whole week, and you do it again at the end of the week. That's part of the Passover time. So during this period of time, at different stages in the Jewish history, they did not observe Passover. Why? Why? Maybe they did it for a while, and they didn't know why they were doing it. Like the way we do with Memorial Day. Maybe they forgot the reason why they did it. Maybe it became so insignificant to them that they quit doing it altogether because of that. Maybe it started the same way we do Memorial Day, that we do kind of something for Memorial Day, but we don't do it in a remembrance of our military personnel that have died in combat. That maybe it's a special day, but for the wrong reason. And maybe Passover began to be something that was a special day, but for the wrong reason. But I think it's important that we be careful about how we observe these things. So let me remind you of what Passover was. And I want you to think about this. And you may not agree, but I want you to think about it. It says that Passover is to be an everlasting covenant relationship with the Lord. Now, how does that happen? My suggestion to you is that we don't just lump that into being something in the Old Testament, that it was an old, everlasting covenant relationship as long as we were under the old law. But that when the old law came in, it was out and gone, then when the new came in, then it was replaced. I want you to think about the idea that God meant what he said for it to be an everlasting covenant that we need to continue to keep, and that we keep it now in the Lord's Supper. That Jesus is the fulfillment of what was happening in the Passover, and we continue it now in that. So consider this as you think about what the Passover was. To begin with, think about the commitment. In Exodus chapter 12, when it was established, they were to clear their households of all leaven, and their bread that they were to eat was to be unleavened bread. That's not just a rule that God made. What it represented was clearing their house and their lives of the Egyptian influence. They were to make a conscientious commitment to clear themselves to be a follower of God. That God's about to lead them out of slavery and they need to leave Egypt behind. And taking the leaven out, taking the yeast out of their house, eating bread that's not with yeast in it, and going on this journey with God in faith is a commitment to leave the past behind. Secondly, it was to be done with thanksgiving. Thanksgiving for God's deliverance. They were to go in, they were to shut their door, and they were not to open it until the next day. They were not to leave the house. They were to eat the sacrifice that had been offered. And they were to trust that God was going to do what God was going to do, what he had promised he said he would do. And when they got up the next morning, what they found was that the firstborn of the Egyptians had been killed. And the houses where the blood of the lamb had been put on the door frame, there was no death in that household. And they were to be thankful for God's deliverance. Thirdly, it was about unity. There was a decision that every household of the Israelite people would be united together. Their marching orders had been given. This is what they were supposed to do in preparation. And they were to leave together, to go out together in unity as God's people. And fourthly, it was to remember the saving sacrifice. That blood had to be shed. That the sacrifice of something innocent had to be offered. A lamb was offered for the families, and each family was to offer to God this sacrifice. And this sacrifice represented what they could be doing. They could be dying. But God keeps them from dying because he chooses for something else to die in their place. And that lamb dies for their family. And each family offered that sacrifice. And they're to realize that it's a covenant relationship. That by doing this, by being involved in this, by remembering this, they make a covenant bond with God. This is not a bond with each other, only in that they are bonding together in making a bond with God. This is not saying, okay, we're in a special club. We're of the kill the lamb, smear it on the doorpost club. This is a covenant relationship with God. To sever this relationship is to sever your relationship with God. And so we see, as we come to the New Testament, Jesus establishes using the Passover as the backdrop for what he's doing. And we read in Matthew chapter 26, verses 26 through 28. While they were eating, Jesus took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to his disciples. And he said, "Take, eat, this is my body." And then he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins." But instead of emphasizing the Passover, he emphasizes himself as being the Passover lamb. Instead of emphasizing the fact that they're saved because of what they did, he emphasizes that they are going to be saved by what he is doing. Instead of emphasizing that this is a covenant relationship with God of their starting a new nation, he emphasizes the fact that they're making a covenant with God that is a spiritual covenant because of his covenant with God in fulfilling what he was sent to do. Now, I'm concerned that we forget why we do what we do. That oftentimes we go through the motions of this. I'm concerned that COVID may contribute to us being forgetful about what we're doing. I'm concerned that the little packet that we take the bread and the juice from may cause us to remember that more than we remember why we do it. I'm concerned that when we go back to using regular trays and regular cups and regular bread in a tray, that we will be so excited that we don't use the little cup things anymore that we'll forget about why we're doing it. I'm concerned that we may be more Jewish than we realize. That we may be forgetful. That we may just go through the motions. That we may not remember. Now, I know we won't forget to do it. I mean, that would be anathema for me to stand up before you on Sunday morning and get to the close of the service and we have not offered the Lord's Supper. We have not done communion together. I don't think that'll happen. I don't think you'll let that happen. Or probably you might let it happen one time and then I probably wouldn't be here and some other people would be in trouble too. Because that's our tradition. That's what we do. It's part of our heritage. We do that every Sunday. But is it possible that we do it every Sunday and we don't always think about what we're doing? That it's lost its meaning. And if we're not careful, we will let what's happened to us over the last year contribute to that. So what I want us to do, and I'm going to ask George to help me with this. I want us to kind of, it's still part of my sermon, but I want us to kind of go through what we go through. I'm going to ask him to sing a couple of songs that fit into communion, because we often do that before we take communion, to help us remember what it means. But I want to ask you to really think about the words of what we're singing right now. I want you to think about it and put it on your heart. And we're going to take the communion together as part of the sermon this morning. And I want us to commit to remembering what it means. George, would you help us for a moment?
Trembling soul, chains around me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the cross, O Lamb of God, brings its scenes before me. Help me walk from day to day with its shadows o'er me. In the cross, in the cross, be my glory ever, till my raptured soul shall find rest beyond the
Just a side note, the world has memorials that we go visit, some on vacation, some, you know, to a gravesite. But the memorial that we're about to partake in, we're blessed to sit in these pews and have Jesus once again, even in death, come to us and memorial of him. So, they bound the hands of Jesus in the garden where he prayed. They took him through the streets in shame. They spat upon the Savior, so pure and free from sin. They said, "Crucify him, he's to blame." He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. Upon his precious head they placed a crown of thorns. They laughed and said, "Behold the king." They struck him and they cursed him and mocked his holy name. All alone he suffered everything. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. When they nailed him to the cross, his mother stood nearby. He said, "Woman, behold thy son." He cried, "I thirst for water," but they gave him none to drink. Then the sinful work of man was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world
and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me. To the howling mob he yielded, he did not for mercy cry. The cross of shame he took alone, and when he cried, "It's finished," he gave himself to die. Salvation's wondrous plan was done. He could have called 10,000 angels to destroy the world and set him free. He could have called 10,000 angels, but he died alone for you and me.
Amen.
I want you to think about what we're about to do. The commitment was made by Jesus to die for us. When you think about the unleavened bread, I think sometimes we've made that imagery of the unleavened bread more important than what it represents. Did you know that Jesus never commanded us to use unleavened bread? We do it because we feel like we're doing the example of Jesus. That Jesus was in preparation for the Passover, would have used unleavened bread. The example of the Passover is unleavened bread. Jesus did not make a big deal about the unleavened bread, except to say that the bread represents his body. And when you think about the body of Jesus, the pure, innocent body of Jesus that lived sinless, Jesus became the leaven for us. The sin that we put out of our lives, Jesus did that for us by his body dying on the cross. Some call what we're about to do the Eucharist. It's taken from the Greek word that it's used when Paul says that when we gather together and take of the loaf together, is it not thanksgiving? Aren't we giving thanks? Aren't we doing it with thanksgiving? And that's where the word comes from. That's what the word means. We should do this with thanksgiving for what God delivered us from because of our sin. We should do it representing our unity. Jesus emphasized that we need to be together as his body. Paul said that the sin of the Corinthians was that they weren't regarding the body of Christ when they were taking this meal together. They disregarded the body of Jesus, one another, the unity of the body. And we do it in remembrance of the saving sacrifice of Jesus, that he gave himself freely so that we might live. He gave himself so that we might be reunited with God. We could not, with any effort on our part, make ourselves sinless. But Jesus, by offering himself as the sacrifice for our sins, not only saves us, but he makes us innocent in the eyes of God. And we do this as a covenant of blood. There's no higher calling to covenant than to shed blood. That's the reason why we have the memorial that we'll have tomorrow, is because some shed their blood for us so that we might be free. We understand that. The blood covenant is the highest level of a covenant. And Jesus became our blood for this covenant. This is our covenant with God. So what we're about to do is a fulfillment of everything that the Passover stood for. Jesus is the Passover lamb. He is the one who died so that we would be delivered from the destruction of eternal death. So let's take of the bread, and then after we do that, we're going to play a song that I think explains exactly what we're doing. And if you feel comfortable singing with that song as it plays, please do so. And make it your words. Make it what you're committing to. And then after that song, I'll come back and we'll take of the juice and remember the blood of Jesus. Would you bow with me in prayer, please? Our Heavenly Father, we can't begin to thank you enough for the love you had for us to send your Son, for God to become flesh for us so that he might die for our sins. And Jesus, we can't begin to think about what it means to have forgiveness because of your willingness to die for us, to be willing to come into this world and become a human being for us, and to deal with all that you dealt with in coming into this world, and to go all the way to that cross and to let your body be hung upon that cross for us so that we might become your living body here in this world. We thank you. And we pray that we never take this not remembering what it means. We ask, Father, that we will always, always remember what you and your Son have done for us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Redeemer, Emmanuel.
We're going to pray for the blood of Jesus. If you're a Christian, if you've been baptized into Christ, if you made that bond with Him, the blood of Jesus has been applied to you. That blood of the Lamb has been smeared on the door frame of your heart, and you've been forgiven of your sins. And when you take of this, you remember how powerful the blood of Jesus is. For no matter what ugly things you've done in your life, they're gone. He died for those. You've been delivered from them because of His blood. And that's what we do when we do this. We're going to take this, and then we're going to sing a song about what that means. Because we get to go home because of that. We get to go where we belong, back with God. That's what this is all about, is someday being restored to our relationship with God without sin, in a world that is the world it should have been before sin came into it. A home of the soul. We're going to sing about that because every time we take this, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes again. And when He comes again, we get to go home. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father God, Lord Jesus Christ, thank You for the blood. Not just any blood, not just some animal's blood, but the blood of God, the blood of the Son of God, who died on the cross for our sins, to redeem us, to deliver us, to take us home. Thank You, Lord Jesus. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
If for the prize we have striven, after our labors are o'er, rest to our souls will be given on the eternal store. Home of the soul, the full home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there. He is the light off in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for Thee, beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Yes, a sweet rest is remaining for the true children of God, where there will be no complaining, never a chastening rod. And we're going home of the soul, beautiful home, there we shall rest, never to roam. Free from all care, happy and bright, Jesus is there. He is the light off in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for Thee, beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea. Soon the bright homeland adorning, we shall behold the glad dawn. Lean on the Lord till the morning. Trust till the night is gone. And we're going home of the soul. Beautiful home. There we shall rest. Never to roam. Free from all care. Happy and bright. Jesus is there. He is the light off in the storm. Lonely are we, sighing for home, longing for thee. Beautiful home of the ransomed beside the crystal sea.
Amen, Brother Mike.
Thank you, George. Good job. Well done. Thank you, David, for the lesson this morning. We're thankful everyone is here today. And we pray and hope that you are encouraged and lifted up by being here with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And you can leave today. You can say it was good to be here. Have a couple of announcements before we are dismissed. Tonight is the fifth Sunday of the month. We'll have our fifth Sunday singing tonight at the building at 5 o'clock. Be the family center or the building? Which one do we know? Just be here. We'll figure it out. Also, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, the American Legion will have their memorial behind the Tarleton softball and baseball fields to commemorate those that died in our service of our country. So if you're interested in that, you can be there at 9 o'clock in the morning. If there are no further announcements, let's go ahead and dismiss with a prayer. Father in heaven, we want to thank you for this day that you have made, the day that you have allowed us to be here to offer up this worship service in praise and in prayer and the feeding through your word. Father, we're ever mindful of the ways you bless us. We want to thank you for those people that you've put in our lives that have helped show us your way and those influence us each day in our walk. Father, we want to thank you for our country that we receive through your providence. This morning we would like to remember the sons and daughters of our nation who stood between us and evil, who laid it on the line, and Father, that died that we might have the joy of freedom in our country today. I want to thank you for your church. I want to thank you for the gospel. I want to thank you for those who carry the good news throughout the world. I want to thank you for the brothers and sisters in Christ we have here this morning, those that always encourage us, those that always lift us up, always are there for us, for your kingdom. Father, we ask that you give healing and a sense of well-being for those that are suffering through illness and pain. Father, we ask that you would forgive us when we fall short, protect us from the lies of the evil one, that we would be able to resist him and be alert, that we'd have a firm foundation of faith, and we would remember the redeeming work of the cross. But thank you as we leave here for the way you've blessed us in being together this morning. We pray that we would know your presence and your power in our lives, and that we would reflect your love and your mercy to others, that they too would know, Father, that you are God, you are the Almighty, you are a creator. You sent your Son, the Lamb of God, who is without sin, to die for our sins, Father, that we might have that hope of eternal salvation with you. Thank you for your grace, Father. Once again, thank you for all you do, and we ask you, Father, to hear our petitions this morning. We pray this through Jesus Christ's name. Amen.